Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
Don't buy this tree, Foxy. You're borrowing at 9.5 with no fixed rate, plus moving into the most dangerous neighborhood in the country for someone of your type of species.
You're exaggerating, Badger.
I'm sugarcoating it, man. This is Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, three of the meanest, nastiest, ugliest farmers in the history of this valley.
Really? Tell me about them.
All right. Walt Bogus is a chicken farmer, probably the most successful in the world. He weighs the same as a young rhinoceros. He eats three chickens every day for breakfast, lunch, supper, and dessert. That's 12 in total per diem. Nate Bunce is a duck and goose farmer. He's approximately the size of a pot-bellied dwarf, and his chin would be underwater in the shallow end of any swimming pool on the planet. His food is homemade donuts with smashed-up goose livers injected into them. Frank Bean is a turkey and apple farmer. He invented his own species of each. He lives on a liquid diet of strong alcoholic cider, which he makes from his apples. He's as skinny as a pencil, as smart as a whip, and possibly the scariest man currently living. The local human children sing a kind of eerie little rhyme about him. Here, listen to this. In summation, I think you just got to not do it, man. That's all.
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
We were just saying it's the nation is sweltering. Oh,
I barely leave my apartment.
Bad for you.
I always have air conditioning, you know?
Yeah. I think the worst week of the year in New York City is the week before the 4th of July, mm-hmm. always. It's always awful.
It's just humid. That's the thing that kills you, yeah.
Well, we have a very exciting book and movie today. But before we get to that, if you are new to the podcast, there are a few other places where you can interact with me, Margot P., and Margot D. Yes, we're both named Margot, on the internet, as well as other listeners of this podcast.
Yes, we do have a basic Facebook page, Book Versus Movie Podcast, but we also have a private group, and the private group is where we're much more interactive. It's where fans of the show go and hang out, and they offer ideas for books and movies. So you just type in Book VS Movie Podcast Group in Facebook, ask to join. You can come on in and give us your suggestions. We're always looking for suggestions. We take all kinds of literary sources, as Margot says. You know, we've done songs, short stories, magazine articles, novellas. We're always trying to look for inspiration. So just keep that in mind. We're on Twitter and Instagram. You spell out Book Versus a Movie. If you are on those platforms, please follow us. That would be great. And we have an old-timey email, Book Versus Movie Podcast, spell it all out, at gmail.com. And we do have stickers once again. We've got stickers, magnets, bookmarks. We have a few bookmarks left, coasters if you're into a coaster. So if you're looking for that, please send us an email. We will drop them in the mail for you.
I keep meaning to post the photo of my magnet on my fridge. I haven't done it yet. I will do it. I'll do it this week. They're so cute. So today we are doing a fairly short book. It's a book written for children. This is an author we've talked about before, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is, it's only like 90 pages, I think. It is available on Audible. The one that I heard was read by Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, that must have been nice.
It was really good.
Well, we've covered him before, Roald Dahl. We covered Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We've covered Matilda. And I actually, through Audible, and you could try Audible out for yourself 1 month for free, audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. I would recommend getting Roald Dahl reading his books. But he kind of has a sing-songy voice. He loves what, you know, he's a man we'll talk about, has a big ego and is a good performer. I'll just leave you, this is a little bit of a sample of him.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. Written and read by Roald Dahl.
In this book, you will find Boggis, an enormously fat man, a chicken farmer, and a mean man. Bunce, a pot-bellied dwarf, a duck and goose farmer, and a nasty man. Bean, a thin man, a turkey and apple farmer, and a beastly man. Badger, the most respectable and well-behaved animal in the district. Rat, a rude creature and a drunkard. Mrs. Fox and her four small children, a fine family. And Mr. Fox, our hero, a fantastic fellow.
Well, for those of you who haven't heard our Charlie and the Chocolate Factory episode, let's talk a little bit about the very complicated, rather remarkable life of Roald Dahl.
Well, we have Charlie and the Chocolate Factories behind our Patreon wall. So if you do want to check that out, I think it's actually free. You can check for yourself. We also talked about Matilda last year, which is a very popular episode of ours. He has some big time fans. So here's the deal. He was born 1916 in Wales. Like a lot of people from the early 20th century, a lot of death in his family. He lost a couple of siblings. He lost his father when he was very young. He grew up to be 6'6". Very talented. Once again, we're talking about an aviator. This is a man who was in the Royal Air Force, was in a plane crash, much like the Little Prince we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that author, Antoine. So anyway, he was in the Royal Air Force, was in a crash, shot down. He was sent to Washington, D.C. as a spy-ish kind of person and started writing. And he just gradually just became more and more prolific. His writing tended to be more about kids' things. Later on in his career, he was married to Patricia Neal, who's an actress who's wonderful. We both adore her. They were married for 30 years. They went through also a death of their daughter from measles. They had their son. The cab was hit. The baby pram carriage was hit by a cab, and then he had problems. He's still okay, though. He's still with us. And Patricia Neal had a stroke when she was 40 and she was pregnant. So they've been through a lot together. And in 1970, he writes The Fantastic Mr. Fox. And it's at a time when he was just, he said, very angry at the world. That was part of what inspired him. We should also say he was a womanizer. He was also anti-Semitic and rather proud of it and did not deny it. And
yeah, no secret. Didn't keep that a secret. Mm-mm.
That was his official comment. And he, there's in 1983, he made a big kind of stink about it with a literary review. He said it again just before he died, and he passed away in 1990. It was just last year or so, I think, his family issued an apology, and you could find that on their website. You can't be responsible for your relatives, what they do and say. I mean, but if they are reaping the rewards from what he put out, it should be. And it's funny because there's so many Jewish directors that have been directing his material, including Steven Spielberg. You know, it's kind of funny. He was a very, we would say, he's a very complicated man, lived a very interesting life, very talented. I mean, we talk about him quite a bit on this show. His stuff really works for movies. And so that's our author this week, Ruwal, a Welsh name. You say RuPaul without the K. Yeah. That's how I remember to say it. Ruwal Dahl.
There's a really terrific Drunk History episode about him. It's so good. I think it's Will Ferrell playing him.
Oh, yes.
And it's about how he gathered intelligence during the war.
Ladies.
Mostly did in bed with ladies.
He loved to dance, and he loved women, and women love a man that can dance. That's true. And so that's, yes. We'll see if we can put that episode in there. I know it's on Hulu. I think all the Drunk Histories are on Hulu. This originally came out, the illustrator was Donald Chafin for the first series, and then when it was republished, it was with Quentin Blake as the illustrator. It's the story about a fox who steals chickens for his family. He's married. He has a devoted wife. He has kids that he really loves. And he is this is where I wonder, because if you look, I don't know, Margot, about you, about the illustrations. Did you look at the old ones, like the original Donald Chafin?
Yeah, which I have to say, I know that Quentin Blake and Dahl were friends. Mm-hmm. So they knew each other really well, and Dahl really liked his illustrations. I also like the original illustrations for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory better than the Quentin Blake ones. I just do. I really like the original Fantastic Mr. Fox
Which you can get
pictures
on Kindle. It's easy to get. So if you're interested, there are two different versions. Like, they do that a lot with authors, right? When they republish books and things like that. But he's clever. There's very cruel farmers that try to get him killed because he's stealing their food. And so it's Bogus, Bunce, and Bean. He's, by the way, he's not above fat shaming. He's not above misogyny in his writing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we should warn you about that. If you've never read, I had never read this book. I've read a lot of his works, but I had never read Fantastic Mr. Fox. I wasn't surprised.
Right.
at the fat shaming. But it's
intense.
Relentless.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically why they're so horrible, basically, is what that's one of the reasons why they're horrible, which is not a nice. So Mr. Fox, one day, how does it happen that he loses his tail? But
one of the farmers shoots it off. So I can't remember which one. One of the farmers kind of almost catches him, mm-hmm. and instead shoots his tail off.
Yeah. So then his life changes and he has to move forward. And then they're always being chased down by these farmers. And so he has other friends, badgers and rabbits and stuff, but he kind of just sticks to his family. And at first, when the family is their hideout is being found, they dig to get away. And then they find out that it's easier if you have other people helping you, and everybody uses their skills to overcome these dim-witted farmers. And he does. And at the very end, the dim-witted farmers are just kind of around this hole, and the whole group is over someplace else, like eating all their food and being happy, and it's a big celebration. And like Margot said, it takes under an hour to read. It's pretty quick, and it's the illustrations are really fun, and that's basically it. His wife is like a really nice lady. He loves his kids. He's trying to be a good guy, and he's just being a fox. Fox steals chickens.
Fox is gonna fox.
Yes.
Yeah. I do like that about that. Like unlike in the movie, in the book, the family is delighted that he's such a good thief and he's so good at providing for them. I that's kind of cool. And it's really fun. Yeah, he meets they dig and they meet the other digging animals like badgers and moles, and they decide that they don't need to, you know, they've outwitted the farmers. The farmers, in the meantime, like, they're digging. They bring tractors. They try to explode the animals out. They try to, I think they put a hose down there at some point or something. There's like,
reminds me of Caddyshack. Anyway.
Yeah. Caddyshack. It's like Caddyshack, it is. It's very that. And then in the end, they're just like, these farmers are so, have gone a little bit over the edge trying to get this one fox. They've destroyed the woodland, mm-hmm. and they're just going to wait it out, not knowing that like the fox doesn't even care about them anymore. Like
they got their own underground.
They're not ever coming out.
Right.
Yeah. So very fun book, minus the fat shaming. and the not very nice way that we're talking about women as well. But as far as the animals go.
Yeah, the animals are great.
A lot of good fun.
So what happens is that we have now our director, Wes Anderson, who had done all kinds of movies that were very successful. I love Rushmore. I think that's my favorite.
Oh, I adore Rushmore. I think that's still my favorite. I mean, I like so many of his movies, the Royal Tenenbaums, and the one about the hotel I thought was very good. What, sorry?
Royal Tenenbaums, filmed in Brooklyn. I was just
right by
that house.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just
pictures.
But
Rushmore's my favorite.
Rushmore's the best, and it's the best soundtrack. I played that.
I agree.
The other day. Oh, so good. I saw the movie like 3 times in the theater. I loved it so much. In 2004, he was creating The Life of Quatic with Steve Zuzu. Not my favorite movie, but it's just got a lot of.
Yeah, it's not my fave either. I mean, I like it fine.
Yeah.
But I like, there's a lot of his other works that I like more.
Yes, I agree. And so in 2004, he was getting ready to adapt this work, and he was working with Noah Baumbach, of all people, who's he's The Squid and the Whale is his film. Marriage Story, which is a real bummer, also filmed in my neighborhood.
I know. That was one that I saw the trailer and I was like, I'm not going to go see this.
Yeah, I'm never.
Why would I go see this?
By the way, it came out at Christmas. I remember that. Anywho, so in 2007, so there was people attached to projects. These things take years to happen. And by the time it was getting ready to happen, two big studio heads went to another studio. So he had to kind of start all over again. And so it was moved to 20th Century Fox, which is why you could find this on Disney Plus, because Disney Plus has all the 20th Century Fox properties. And it's stop motion animation that he decided to use. And I don't know if this is the last movie that's done that. We haven't reviewed a lot of them. We were kids growing up. That's all we saw. All those like stop.
Oh yeah,
those were our cartoons.
Godzilla.
All the Christmas specials, fun things.
All the Christmas specials. So for our generation, stop motion animation is extremely nostalgic.
Yes, and this is what he created. And supposedly he was in his apartment in Paris and Wes Anderson and like kind of controlling things all over the place. Yeah, which was not always fun for people. But let me just say, this movie comes out. It has George Clooney. Oh, well, let's play the trailer. Let's play the trailer really quick. Here's the trailer for Fantastic Mr. Fox.
And so it begins.
Welcome to the fantastic world of Mr. Fox. Woo!
Should we dance?
His life is fantastic.
Pure wild animal craziness.
His wife is fantastic.
If what I think is happening, it better not be.
His neighbors, not so fantastic.
This is Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, three of the meanest, nastiest, ugliest farmers in his valley.
What was that?
They're digging us out.
But they're about to discover...
Oh, Foxy, is help on the way?
He's one fox.
I've got an idea.
You can't out-fox.
Mole, what do you got?
I can see in the dark.
We can use that. Rabbit, I'm fast.
Badger, demolitions expert.
What?
Since when?
Here, put these bandit hats on.
I don't have a bandit hat, but I modified this tube sock.
We look good.
Yeah, we do.
The only security is an old hunting beagle. I laced some blueberries with sleeping powder. Beagles love blueberries.
A titanium card.
What's this thing you do, the whistle with the clicking sound?
That's my trademark.
We're different. We all are. Him especially. But there's something kind of fantastic about that, isn't there?
I can fight my own fight.
No, you can't.
I guess we should start doing something, right?
Let's see some hustle.
This fall, forget Super.
That was close, Rat. Be careful.
Oh, I'm as careful as I...
Ignore Incredible.
I can fit through there. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm little.
It's all about fantastic.
You really are fantastic.
I try.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
What's this lightning bolt?
This fence might be electric.
Well, I just hope it doesn't mean thunder, because I have a phobia of that.
I love the cast here. We have George Clooney, Meryl Streep as Felicity Fox.
Just that. Just George Clooney and Meryl Streep. I mean,
Jason Schwartzman, which we were talking about before from Rushmore. Bill Murray, we were talking about him. Willem Dafoe. I think it's our first Willem Dafoe movie. He plays the rat.
Is it? It might be, yeah.
I think it is. And Owen Wilson, he's the gym teacher. I mean, there's just a great cast of voices. And so the story is, to make it an hour and a half, we have the fact that here we meet Mr. and Mrs. Fox, and they're getting trapped by hunters, basically, in a cage when we first meet them. And then she turns them, like, all right, you got to get another line of work. This is not going to, because I'm pregnant. this isn't going to work for me. So then he gets basically a job as a newspaper columnist, as one does. And he's writing his column, and he's father to a couple of kids, and
it's so cute,
it's adorable. The fur on the fox, I mean, it's real animal.
Beautiful.
Fur. It's yeah, gorgeous.
It looks that's a Wes Anderson movie. It's going to look phenomenal. Okay. Every detail is going to be attended to, and
right.
There's you're going to be able to watch it again and again, and each time you're going to see some new little fun thing. It's so fun.
It's wonderful. The soundtrack is really great. That's also another thing that he apparently Street Fighting Man is something he plays in all of his movies, or he tries to. But he's got like cool Beach Boys, Heroes and Villains, which I love that song. I mean, there's like, it's got Jarvis Cocker in there singing a song about Petey. I mean, it's just the soundtrack is so great.
About a handsome little fox, let me sing you folks a yum. Hey, diddle dee, daddle da, doddle do, doodle dum. Was a splendid little fella with some grace and charm. Say, zippy zee, zappy zah, yappy yo, doodle gum. Well, like any little critter needing victuals for his pittance, well, he stole and he cheated and he lied just to survive.
So a nephew moves in with them, and he and the Christofferson Silver Fox.
Christofferson. The names are so cute.
The names are
Ash. Adorable. Ash is Mr. Fox's son, and then the nephew is Christofferson.
And he comes to
live with
them.
And Christofferson is Wes Anderson's brother.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, Eric Anderson. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, he comes in, and first he and Ash have problems because Ash is jealous. You know, Ash's father is like Mr. Fox, is like super capable of everything. And Ash is kind of nerdy and insecure and small for his age. And I love it when he's with the cousin. He, you know, gives his cousin his bed, but he's like, he's fighting about it. But the cousin, they have this scene where they're sort of watching the trains together. They kind of bond. It's like just so sweet. They have their jealousies, but they're just family. You know, similar to the book, they have these humans that are chasing them, are bent on destroying them. At one point, one of them does take off his tail and they try to dig him out. And then his whole thing is he's a great fighter and he makes it look effortless. And so there's like a firefight that he starts with like pine cones or whatever, like just sending them out there. He has Mr. Badger is a friend of his. He has these other animals that are friends. Kidnap. So the humans kidnap the son, right?
The humans kidnap the nephew.
The nephew, thinking it's his son.
Yes.
And then he has to rescue the nephew and get him out of there. It's just so wonderful. I can't even begin to like describe it. It's just this whole thing.
Yeah. The plot is really well thought out. Mm-hmm. It has really lovely themes about family and friendship and ego and regret. Really, really lovely themes.
Don't turn around.
What?
Where'd he come from?
Where'd you come from? What are you doing here? Canis lupus. Vulpes vulpes.
I don't think he speaks English or Latin.
Pensez-vous que l'hiver sera rude?
I'm asking if he thinks we're in for a hard winter. He doesn't seem to know.
Phobia of wolves.
What a beautiful creature. Wish him luck, boys.
Good luck to you.
Good luck. Good luck out there.
And I think presented in a way that works for any age. I didn't know this. I don't know why, but my husband and kids had seen this in the theater. I had never seen this movie before. I don't know, for some reason I didn't go with them. And so it was a while ago when it came out, and my kids just loved it apparently. And so did my husband. So they, you know, they really enjoyed going and seeing it together. I must've been working, and I can see why, because it really has something for everybody. And the themes, I think, are important themes that kids certainly have to deal with, but maybe don't have a way of expressing, you know, their just, I love that Ash is so unable to express what's bothering him about Christopher. Like he just is not, doesn't have it developed in him yet to be able to express what's happening with him. And so he's just like acting out, which I think is great.
It's Jason Schwartzman
it's such, all of the performances are so fantastic, to coin a phrase. I love Bill Murray as the badger is the attorney. Yes. Just such a great choice. And then the weasel is the realtor, which I love.
And Willem Dafoe is the rat, and he's like French. They also do nods to other movies.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Jason Schwartzman, Ash, his parents are fighting, and he just like, you guys, you're saying this to this one and that to that one, and I can't, getting all screwed up, which is from, what am I thinking of? The James Dean movie, Rebel Without a Cause. Like, there's all kinds of West Side Story, you know, when he flips around the knife and dance. There's all these little touches. And I also love the fact that in the movie, they say cuss instead of cuss. Which is really
okay,
cute.
The cutest thing ever. That is the cutest choice ever. And like the first time you're like, what? And then every time you hear it, it makes you happy.
Yes. And supposedly he filmed this like in barns and out in nature. And
recording the voices outdoors
of the actor. So it would sound more realistic. I mean, the attention to detail is incredible here. And like Margot was saying, we have just such an incredible, fantastic cast. This movie comes out in October of 2009. Very well received. Critics love it. Also, what comes out around the same time is a little movie called Up. It's just one of those things, like, I dare anybody to watch the first 15 minutes of Up and not cry your eyes out.
No, you cannot.
You can't.
You cannot. No.
You're a vampire. There's something wrong with you.
I'm right now, I'm just trying not even to think about Up.
Yes.
It's going to make me emotional.
And Asner, please.
I'm just going to pretend it's a movie about something else.
Yes, exactly. So it did okay. It did $40 million at the box office. It kind of broke even. And it's considered a classic now, but it just didn't hit. It wasn't the big box office hit. And so I think maybe that's why it's not, I don't know if it's not as much of the classic as I think it should be. I mean, I've watched it twice in the last 2 days and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's so good.
I think it's going to be one of those things that just over time, you know, it will like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That it will just have one of those like life in the kid world that goes on and on. It's just so solid all the way around. I love, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? What's your name? Michael Gambon as the meanest, most evil and clever of the farmers. He's really
mean.
He's really evil. He's really scary.
There's also, I love the little, there's, I guess that was the director's girlfriend. She plays Agnes, who's the fox that has a crush
so
on.
So cute.
Adorable. All these people are so adorable. It's just, yeah, we have Jarvis Cocker. He's singing a song about Mr. Fox. I mean, there's just all these, and somebody's, they get on his case about bad songwriting. His songwriting craft is not very good. I mean, just these little touches throughout the whole thing. I was just completely enchanted with this movie. I super, super love it.
Stop, man. Come on, stop.
Look at you, girl. You're still as fine looking as a creme brulee.
Am I being flirted with by a psychotic rat?
Excuse me. May I cut in?
Me too. I know I can see myself watching this over and over again. Like I said, I mean, and this is true of all of his movies again, that I don't know how he has the time to pack so much into every single frame. There's right. so much there. Like you could freeze frame at any point in any one of his movies and just like sit there and look at it like you would a magazine or something. It's just, there's so much always. He has a very specific style mm-hmm. that, you know, in terms of the way he plans his shots, tracking and focus, the way the composition of the frames, and he does exactly the same thing in this stop motion thing. And it just is so phenomenal. It's so fun to watch.
The animals, you really care about them. They have very human kind of qualities to their eyes and to their, you know, in their expressions. They're all just so loving towards one another. And I like the ultimate message also of like Meryl Streep, as Felicity says, it's okay to be different. You know, it's fun that we're different from each other. That's a good thing. And that's another thing that celebrates, which is funny because this is coming from a man who wrote very not nice things about groups of people. And here he is.
Who were different. Yes, it is true. It's quite true. Although that isn't exactly the message of the book.
No, you're right. Yeah, he was in a very tough time in his life at the time. And there is, I'd say between the two, the movie's much more joyful. Like this Mr. Fox is like super, it's George Clooney. He's suave.
He's an action hero.
Yeah. He's an action hero. He's suave. He's like James Bond or something. He could do anything and handle it. And he always keeps his cool. And this is one of my favorites. This is just, I super, super love this.
It's a very autumn-y feel to the whole thing. And, you know, the colors and the art direction. I'm just, oh, it's so great. I've been listening to the soundtrack. Yeah. It's very good. I agree. It's not quite Rushmore. Still my favorite. Still my favorite movie. Still my favorite soundtrack. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. It's fun to listen to that, like while you're cleaning the house and stuff.
Yeah. This is I guess I'm going to say movie. Book versus movie. I have to say movie too.
I loved the book. I really did enjoy the book. Mm-hmm. And the book had all the family themes that are in the movie about the dad, you know, trying a little too hard to be the savior for everybody. And then the end, like everyone having to pitch in and having a part in their survival. But I love the way that the movie, you know, the detail, just like this thing about Wes Anderson is always the detail, like the detail that we go into, especially like the things with the boys, I think are so great and so well done and well written. And just the way that you experience that time in your life, you know, when you're having feelings about things, but you don't have the vocabulary, you don't have the emotional intelligence yet to deal with what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk about bullying. They talk about having unrequited crushes and how that feels when the person you like likes your friend instead of you. And that's just part of life. And it's, yeah. And it's funny, and the voices are all great. Like I said, Willem Dafoe as Rat just cracked me up. He's hilarious.
He's so great. He's so funny.
Yeah.
And scary. Yes. Which is, I mean, he's funny and terrifying at the exact same time. Brilliant.
Brilliant. This was it was totally brilliant. And if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out, especially if you have Disney Plus. There's like some great movies on there. This is definitely one of them. I'm really glad we did this.
So this is super short.
Yeah, that happens.
Because the book's short.
Yeah.
It's a very simple story. And the movie is also a fairly simple story. And it's just, I mean, we can just spend the rest of this hour just going on and on about the, you know, the sets and the, how cute it all is. And I love the end in the supermarket. I think it's really, it's really joyful. Like you were saying, like you're just so excited that they're in the supermarket. Anyway, you had a really off the beaten path and fun suggestion for our next episode.
Yes, we were talking about there are times when there's an article that inspires a movie, and this one inspires a franchise that is going until this day. The article is called Racer X. It's from Vibe magazine. The author is Ken Lee. It came out in 2000, I want to say. It's still available. Just type in. This is the article that brought us The Fast and the Furious, which just released their ninth episode. Sorry, their ninth film in their series, The Fast and the Furious. So it's going to be super easy to get. It'll be a super fun watch. I think it's on HBO Max. Most people have HBO Max now. It's super fun. I can't wait. So that's going to be the next one.
Is there any other franchise that has that many? Maybe it's sort of like that Carry On series from Britain, but
I mean,
I'm trying to think. I can't really think of it. We have four Jaws movies.
Right. Well, there's horror movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th. But But they redo them. They totally rejigger them. Like, this is like the same cast, you know, minus what we'll talk about. There's a couple of, you know, that aren't there anymore. But it's basically the same core people, and it's basically the same core idea. It's so damn entertaining. I don't think you've ever seen one before, have you? Fast and Furious movies?
Nope, sure haven't.
I think this is going to be great. I think this is going to be like Top Gun last year. Like, I'd never seen it before, and then I was totally on board. Like, yeah. I get this.
I mean, there's got to be something to it. There's 9 of them.
People still go to the theater to see them, yeah. That's what we're going to do next time. In the meantime, if you have suggestions for us, please send them to all those places I mentioned before. Once again, our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Please be sure to subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode. And if you use Apple Podcasts, if you can leave us 5-star review, if you want to, that would be great. We'll read your name on the air. We're part of the Frolic Network, so check out the closing credits. You can try out other episodes for Frolic. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me online at coloniabook.com, and all my social media callouts are at She's Not Your Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fit Chick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And we will be back soon with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags Lady Pod Squad and Podern Family. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, go to PATREON, and look for Book vs. Movie Podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's bookversusmoviepodcast, spelled it all out, @gmail.com. We do have a promotion with Audible. If you want to check out their service for free for 30 days, go to audibletrial.com/bookversusmovie. You can follow Margot D. at Brooklyn Fit Chick on social media, and Margot P. at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.